Morning again, everybody, and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Newark. Ray is away with Trish on their anniversary, celebrating that, and next week Pam and I will be away celebrating our anniversary. So I'm going to cover Ray today, and then Ray will cover me next week. So we'll do it that way. So Pam and I, number 40 next week, will be our 40th anniversary. We were at home in Dayton, and I was going through some of the drawers and stuff, and I saw the Bible and my name and little cross on it, and I said, yeah, that's right. Pam had got me this on our 26th wedding anniversary. And I'm like, why am I not using this Bible? And then I opened it up, and I'm like, okay, the word... print's a little small, but since then I've started wearing glasses, and so it's like, now I can use it. Yeah, but when I first opened that, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a tough one. So, but yeah, I can scratch off about 5 minutes of my sermon because Mike went through that. but it is true, we do talk a lot on our runs, and I was kicking around a couple other options, and they just weren't really coming together, and. Pam and I were, a couple weeks ago, we were driving up to Dayton, and it did come across me. And I do really feel that it is from the Lord. But, it's just interesting how that works. And so as we were driving through the mountains there, I was kind of running through ideas and things like that. And so have, want, and need. So we're going to look at some different things this morning, go through some scriptures and see how they affect our lives and see how they change. You already have something, but it's the want and the need that kind of dictates. So maybe you have a house, but you want a bigger one. Do you need it? It depends. If you're a young couple just married, maybe you don't need a bigger house. Plan on having children, maybe you do need a bigger house. Depends on the situation. So I want to give some examples of situations, a couple of them here. And you can answer these in your mind. These are kind of my answers, but, you know, they're subject to interpretation. So, a doctor. You need to go to a doctor, and this is for something fairly serious, maybe surgery or a procedure, something like that. So, do you have to go? Well, yes or no. I mean, you don't actually have to. When God built us, he gave us the ability to make choices, make decisions. Do you want to go? No, I wouldn't really think so. You don't really want to go. But do you need to? See, it depends. We're talking to surgery here. Something going on could be life-altering. So, yeah, you probably need to. You may not want to. You may not have to. But you need to. What about when you go get a physical? It's just a physical. Do you have to go? Yeah, you don't have to. Do you want to? It depends if you like your doctor or not. You know, you may want to, you may not want to. But do you need to? It's just a physical, so you don't really need to. So what changed? It's a situation. Something life-altering to something kind of just a common procedure, a physical. It changes the need. And sometimes a wanting to have. It's the same with a dentist, okay? We've all had that favorite toothache. Do you have to go? Yeah, you don't have to. Because, there again, you have the ability to make that decision. Do you want to go? People don't usually want to go to the dentist. You just don't. Because you figure a toothache turned into a root canal, and we've all been there. So you don't really want to go. But do you need to? You need to. You got to get that fixed. That is one painful feeling. We've all had it, and you need to go. But then a cleaning. Do you have to go? No. Do you want to go? There again, do you like your dentist or your hygienist? Just a cleaning. Do you need to go? No. Situation changed. So the need changed. the have and the want changes. The last one, school. So as children, because that's when school starts, do you have to go? Yeah, it's pretty much a law. You have to go to school. You want to go? I don't ever remember waking up in the morning and say, man, I want to go to school. It just, some kids did. There was something wrong with them, but some kids did want to go to school. But
those are the ones that became teachers.
Right. Nothing on Ray here. Nothing on Ray. But, and then did you need to go? Yeah. As a child, you needed to go to school. Need to learn to read, write, right? Reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, wouldn't be able to read here if we didn't go to school. So yeah, needed to go. But as an adult, college, do you have to go? Here again, that's your decision, whether you have to or not. Do you want to go? It's up to you. I know some people in the room here did go to college. I didn't. Maybe they wanted to. I didn't want to. So didn't go. And do you need to go? Depends what field of work you want to get into in your life, whether you need the college education or you don't. I'm not saying don't go to college. I think most of us in this room are past that point anyway, but the need changed. When we were a child, we needed to go to school. When we became an adult, we had the choice, decision to make, and we didn't need to go to college. Maybe we wanted to, but we didn't need to. See, it all changes on the situation. What about work? Oh, never mind, that's wrong crowd. I don't want to take you back that far. So we won't do work, okay? So those are just some examples that we have. They're simple examples, but it just shows how the want, the need, and the have-tos can change depending on what's going on in your life. I want to look at three prophets in the Bible. And look at that. I want to look at first Jeremiah. We're doing Jeremiah in our Bible study in the mornings, and I've kind of become a Jeremiah fan. He had a tough run. So Jeremiah, did he have to go to Judah to speak to the kings? In chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Did Jeremiah have to go? Kind of sounds like he did. It says before he was even born, God said he was going to be a prophet. You know, I left one part out. I'm going to backtrack real quick because I kind of find myself, I'm a two-topic pastor. You know, they say three-point sermons. But the first part was my just speaking and giving examples, that's mine. But now when you open the scripture and look into the Bible, it becomes God's. So now this becomes God's message. I just wanted to point that out and remind myself of that as well. So now that we're in the scripture. But it sounds like Jeremiah had to go. He was appointed by God to go. Did he want to go? Did Jeremiah want to go? In verse 6 it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child." Found that interesting. I never knew that. You always think of prophets as being older, wiser. Jeremiah was young. They said possibly a teenager. So here is a young man, a teenager. God says, you need to go to Judah and tell the kings you're messing up. Wow. I don't know if I'd want to do that. That's putting his life in danger. So did he want to go? I don't know that Jeremiah really wanted to go. That was a tough one. But did he need to go? Verses 7 through 10. "The Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a child. You must go. And everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah needed to go. God had a message for him. He was his chosen prophet, chosen before he was born to go, because he had a message. God wanted to send Jeremiah. So yes, he needed to go. He needed to go share that message. Let's look at Jonah. Some of you know Jonah is maybe one of my favorite books in the Bible. Maybe you shouldn't have a favorite book. I don't know. I say with parents with multiple children, shouldn't have favorites. And my parents were very good at that. I have two brothers and a sister. And I truly can say I don't ever remember, you know, the favoritism of that. I guess if it did come down to it, it would have been me. But come on, would have been me as her favorite. But that never came up. So is Jonah my favorite book in the Bible? Yeah, but it's all God-written, God-inspired words, so all the books are good. But here again, we have Jonah. God had a message for Jonah. Did Jonah have to go? In verses, we'll skip to chapter 3, 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Kind of sounds like he had to go, because the word of the Lord came to him the second time. Remember what happened the first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So Jonah told him to go, or God told him to go. Did Jonah want to go? Chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Doesn't sound like he wanted to go. Here again, Jonah didn't like the Assyrians. He didn't like them. He used to go to the city of Nineveh and preach the message that God had gave him. But he did not want to go. But did he need to go? Back to chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah needed to go. The people needed to hear the message, to hear the word of the Lord. And they turned from their evil, and God had compassion on them. Jonah have to go? I think so. Did he want to? He didn't. But did he need to? He definitely needed to. God had a purpose and a message for Jonah, and he needed to go. Let's look at Moses in the book of Exodus. There, Moses here, same thing. God sent him back to Egypt to go get his people. Did Moses have to go? In Exodus 3, 7 to 10, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a good and spacious land. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Did he have to go? I think so. God told him to. God heard the cries of his people, the Israelites crying out. They were in captivity for a long time. God heard their cries, and he chose Moses. So yeah, I think Moses had to go. God said go. Did he want to go? Chapter 3, 11 and 12. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I'll be with you, and this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you will worship God in this mountain. Did Moses want to go? Remember, he lived in Egypt. He lived in the palace, finest clothes, the best food. And then he killed an Egyptian. And then he fled, and he became a sheep herder for another 40 years. So at the age of 80, God said to Moses, go back to Egypt and get my people. That was no easy task. We kind of sometimes may overlook that. Do you know how many people were talking and the things that had to happen for the Egyptians to release the people and let them go? And then how long that took to caravan out? That was a huge task, a huge job. Did Moses want to go? I don't think he did. But did he need to go? Chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise to bring you out of your misery in Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. So did he need to go? Yes. God had a purpose for Moses. He had a job for Moses to go back to Egypt to get his people in the bringing them out to the land flowing with milk and honey, into the promised land is what it's called. See, all three had a purpose. Jeremiah, Jonah, and Moses. All three had to go. All three didn't want to go, but all three needed to go. See, sometimes God gives us things to do that we don't want to do, but it's because he has a purpose. He has a plan, and sometimes we don't see it. And maybe sometimes we don't want to, but we need to. If God lays it on our heart, we need to fulfill his purpose, his plan. I'd like to look at the greatest example that I think of have, want, and need. And that would be Jesus Christ on the cross. If we look at that. Jesus on the cross. Did he have to go? Jesus have to go to the cross? In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Did Jesus have to go to the cross? It was foretold in Isaiah. God had a purpose for Jesus Christ, his son. And that was to go to the cross for us. So yes, Jesus had to go. Did Jesus want to go? In Matthew 26:39, I lost that one marker there. Matthew 26:39. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Did he want to go? That crucifixion is an extremely terrible way to die. Death on a cross. Did he want to go? 26, it says, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But don't do it for me. Do it if there's another way. But there wasn't. So did Jesus need to go to the cross? So I thought about that one. What verse could I get for that, showing the need for Jesus to go to the cross? And it's quite simple. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus needed to go to the cross for us. He had to. Maybe he didn't want to, but he definitely needed to. And it's because of that, that's where we are today, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And because he fulfilled God's purpose, he fulfilled God's plan for us. In Isaiah 55:11, I have to go back to that one because I jotted that one down this morning out of our Sunday school class. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it." Jeremiah, Jonah, Moses, and Jesus Christ accomplished that purpose. All of them did. The purpose of the Lord God. So what about you this morning? These are the questions for you. Do you have to be here? Did you have to be here this morning? Do you want to be here? Mike said earlier, he talked to somebody, he said, all right, you know, we're here, we can worship Christ. We can worship in God's house instead of having to. So did you want to be here? And then did you need to be here? The answer to that one will always be yes. The have and the want could be debatable for you, but the need to be in God's house is always yes, in my opinion. You need to be here. And what about, we call them the CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Sometimes we make a little fun of them. The people who only come maybe on the holidays and things like that, or the Christian holidays and things, maybe visitors. Do they have to be here on that Christmas or Easter? Yeah. God gave them the choice. Do they want to be here? Maybe not, because they only come on the religious holidays. So maybe they don't want to be here. But do they need to be here? They need to be here. My father always saw it as an opportunity. He always would say it only takes a Holy Spirit, just a minute or just a word, to change a person's life. And if they're not in the house of God and they don't hear that word, the life wouldn't be changed. So he always saw it as an opportunity. And what a blessing that would be, wouldn't it, to say that one word, give that one example that God placed on your heart, and it touched that person's heart. And you may not see it that day. You may never see it. Somewhere down the road, that could come back to them and change their life just for the fact that they're in God's house. They needed to be here. Have, want, and need. Kind of in closing here, when it comes to Jesus, it kind of changes. When it comes to Jesus, do you need Jesus? Always going to be yes. Do you need to be in God's house? Always going to be yes. So do you need Jesus? Do you want Jesus? We talked this morning in Bible study. Some people turn down the Word of God. They reject it. They don't want it in their lives. They don't want to be a part of it. Some people do not want Jesus. But what it boils down to is the final one. Do you have Jesus? That's what matters. Out of all three of those, have, want, and need, when it comes to Jesus Christ, it boils down to, do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Right? Remember rock, scissors, paper? Right? They're all equal. They're all equal. One always beats the other. Have, want, and need. All pretty much equal. Depends on the situation. But they're only equal until you ask the question, do you have Jesus? Then that becomes the most important. Thank you for coming this morning. I know sometimes mine are a little quicker or you know, time-wise and things like that, but I just feel that's the best way for me, just try to make the point, but not overmake it. So thank you for coming out this morning. And remember, the situations will change the haves, the wants, and the needs. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the most important is the have. Thank you.